We want to start digging in tonight the transfiguration. Now this word transfiguration is the word metamorphosed. Transfiguration is a good translation of the word, Greek word, if we understand that this was not an outward change in Jesus, but an inward. He was completely changed. His glory shone from the inside out. It originated on the inside of Christ and shined out. It wasn't something that was put on him. It was a transforming. It was a, in the same fact, you know, we use the word metamorphosis, having to do with the way that butterflies and things of that nature are completely changed whenever they, from one stage to another stage, that sort of thing. It means that his appearance was totally different. And it was so startling and amazing till the disciples were sore afraid at this situation. And so this is not some figment of their imagination. It was not something that happened in their mind. Now they had been asleep, and Luke mentions the fact that they were heavy with sleep, but they weren't in a trance. They didn't all three have the same dream. It was real. It really happened. It really took place, and it was for a very specific purpose. And I just want to camp here, and talk about the transfiguration until I hope that we can begin to grasp its significance, because it is tremendously significant and important. It is the only time, the only thing that shows us what it's going to be like. Well, I guess I could take that back and say, other than, of course, Christ, after he rose again from the dead in his resurrection body, and they saw him there. But even there, his glory was veiled. See? Because he didn't shine, didn't say anything about him in his resurrection body coming into the room shining like that, like now. So, this is the only thing that really gives us an insight into what you're going to be like, what I'm going to be like. We're not going to have the glory that he has, for he is God, and that glory was a Shekinah glory. That cloud was a Shekinah cloud that came down upon them. But there are some truths, some wonderful truths about this, and Jesus was giving to these three disciples that were chosen to go with him up on that Mount of Transfiguration. He was giving them some truth that you might say they could sink their teeth in. I mean, they could get a hold of what Jesus meant when he said in verse 1, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Now he's fixing to show them what the kingdom of God with power is going to be like. Now, he has told them that he has to die, and that that's the way to power, the death and resurrection. But they're having a problem with that. And of course, Peter has chastened him about that. And so Jesus now takes them apart up into the mountain to be transfigured, in order that they could really get a glimpse of what it's going to be like. Now, one of the writers said concerning this, and I thought this was so good, that this is proof positive. That's not the words that he used, but this is proof positive that you are going to look just like you look now in heaven. that you're going to look just like you look now. We get to heaven. Oh, we won't have the weaknesses, the frailties, the diseases, the infirmities, the pains. We won't have all those things. But Moses and Elijah and Jesus were all quickly recognizable by sight. And so will you be. And so will I be. And when we walk down the streets of gold, I say, there goes old Little Peggy. He did make it. Look at that. Look at that golden shoes. He's walking down the golden street saying, praise the Lord. And he's in tune too and everything, you know. And he just really glorifying the Lord. And so you know, you'll see and recognize. Phil will have hair. We may have to get used to that again. I think somebody said that we'll all be 30 years old throughout all eternity. I don't know about that. We'll look like we are. Some of us have been a long time since we looked like we were 30 years old. So some of us may take a little getting used to again. Howard won't have gray hair. That hoar head will be turned back to its original color, whatever it was. Some women won't know if they save what the hair was colored till they get back there, maybe. But we're going to have bodies. You're going to have the same body. It's going to be identified just like it is now. And you'll be recognized just like you're recognized now. Now, one thing about it, we'll all love each other. There won't be any pettiness and envy and hurt feelings and all those kind of things. So everybody will love everybody, and we won't have to mess in each other's business because we can each take care of our own then. And, you know, and everything will just be wonderful. I mean, you know, and so this is what Jesus is doing. I mean, everything that you can clearly interpret and teach from this scene, you can believe. See? The scripture, you see, if I say something, you have to keep what I say within the framework of what I said and what I meant, or else you may misunderstand me. But not so with the Word of God. Of course, we have to understand it in its context and in the framework of what God said. But all of the implications are true that the Word gives. For instance, here's a picture of these three people there. Now, everything that is obvious and clear about that, you can take it, you can believe it as part of your faith, part of the truth of the Word of God. And part of that is the clear indication that these men were easily recognizable, and that after hundreds of years, of course, in the case of Moses and Elijah. Now, some thoughts on the kingdom and how it is to be realized, because this is the question now that is before us. We've been dealing with it for a couple of times, but I want to continue to deal with it. I want you to get it, and I want to get it, and I want us to get it deep within us to understand what Jesus is dealing with here now as he's turned the corner in his ministry and begins to talk about his death and his resurrection. Accomplishing the business of bringing in the kingdom of God on earth through suffering, rejection, and death baffles the human mind and is contrary to the philosophy of this or any age. To tell the human mind, to tell a human being that you're going to bring about victory by defeat is foolishness. It is foolishness to the Gentile mind, and it was and still is the stumbling block of the Jews. But it's God's way to victory. Victory through suffering. Victory through suffering. I think that's why so often God puts us through hard times, hardships, trials, difficulties. Because it's in weakness, isn't it, that we really are strong? It's when we rely upon the Lord and trust the Lord, and in our weaknesses, that's when we're the strongest. It's when we think we're strong that we're the weakest. It's true, that's a principle, isn't it, of Scripture. When we think we're the strongest, that's when we're the weakest. And when we realize we are weak, then we rely upon the Lord, and then we're strong. And this is the same principle. See? Victory, God's way, is through weakness, through suffering. Now, the kingdom's going to come in power, but it must first go through this period of suffering. Jesus spoke of the kingdom in weakness when he spoke of going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die. That does not mean that he was weak. When we speak of the kingdom in weakness, we're not saying that Jesus was weak, but that at this point he came to die. He did not come to be crowned. He came to die. And it was through the weakness that he accomplished salvation. If he had not submitted to the death of the cross, if he had not been willing for them to kill him, then you couldn't be saved and I couldn't be saved. Remember that they said, as they stood around the cross, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Nothing is truer than that. If he's going to save others, he can't save himself. This is God's way. See? So the kingdom in weakness has to come before the kingdom in power. If Jesus had not gone to the cross and suffered and bore your sins in his body there on the tree, you could never know the kingdom in power. You could never know the glory of heaven. And so, Jesus is having to get this across to his disciples. You understand? This is what he's trying to get across. It's a rather difficult thing to those disciples. They were Jews. And they had been thoroughly trained and taught concerning Messiah and his power and his glory and his rule here upon the earth in strength, not in weakness. Now, as we remember, we've said it is in the Old Testament, the suffering, the weakness, the rejection, the despised of men. I read something today that made me think. And I think we ought to turn back to Isaiah 53 to look at this. Turn we back to Isaiah chapter 53, that very important chapter concerning his humility and his sacrifice and rejection. Verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." Israel was the dry ground, and Jesus is the plant, the tender plant, the root growing up out of a dry ground. Notice now, "he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." I have always kind of supposed that Jesus was a rather robust, strong-looking individual. But I was reading this morning, one man commented on these verses. And I have to say, I think he's probably right, that Jesus was probably a small, weak-looking, not handsome at all individual. For the Scripture says here that he hath no form nor comeliness, no beauty. He's not good-looking. He's not handsome. That's not the picture of Christ. It says here, And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. If you had been there, if you had seen him, you probably looked upon him and said, he's weak. He's not a strong person, not a big person, not a good-looking person. Maybe not even a very healthy-looking person, for that matter. I don't know. But despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. So, he fit the picture of weakness. This is his time of weakness. And when he came, he fit the picture of weakness. For he is to accomplish his victory through death. And to get this across to the disciples is what this whole portion is about. And for us today to understand it. Jesus spoke of the kingdom in weakness when he spoke of going to Jerusalem to suffer and die. Now, as we said, that does not mean that he was weak, for he was certainly strong in faith and completely submitted to the will of God. Jesus revealed the kingdom in power at his transfiguration. Now, you see the reason for it? He wants them to know that even though he's going to be crucified, he's going to die in what looks like weakness, that he's going to rise again. Now, Jesus never spoke of his death without adding his resurrection. Never. He always said to die and to rise again. To die and to rise again. Now, they didn't understand that. Didn't even understand it after the resurrection. But it was there. They understood it later. And, of course, included in their gospel, those that were there. So, he wants to assure them that when he says that the kingdom is going to come through his death, through suffering and his death, that it will come in power through that means of weakness. And so he shows them this scene of power, this one time there upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, human opinion concerning who Christ really is a supreme thing in his ministry. The thing that Jesus was taken with throughout his ministry was that people understand who he is. Now, that's what you have to understand, who he is. Remember in Luke chapter 19, concerning Zacchaeus, it says he sought him who he was. That's the reason Zacchaeus was accepted by Christ. The reason Jesus stopped there under that sycamore tree and said, come down, salvation's come to your house. Because he wanted to know who Jesus was. And that was the concern of Jesus' life. Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's the whole thing. If you miss that, you miss salvation. If you don't recognize, we've talked about this before, if you don't recognize him as the Christ, you've missed it. And that's why he is so concerned about that. Not what they thought of what he had done. Now, he'd done all kinds of things, and Jesus didn't go around questioning, what do you think about what I've done? What do you think about this miracle I performed? What do you think about this feeding of the 5,000? Wasn't that something? What do you think? No. That's not it at all. It was not what they thought about what he said. He didn't say something and say, what do you think about that? What do you think about what I've said? Because what he said was the word of God and was not up for question. And what he wanted them to know was who it was that spoke it. And who he was a consuming passion and desire of the Lord Jesus, that people understand who he is. And that's the same thing today. Who is he? Who is he? You see, no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Any person who says that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh doesn't know God. 1 John tells us. Who is he? He's Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. All right? A revolutionary idea. Build a kingdom by dying. Gain a victory by being defeated. Gain a crown by wearing a cross. And it's still what is put before us today, isn't it? And when the battle's over, I shall wear a crown. The song says, when the battle's over, I shall wear a crown. Not now. This is cross time. Bear your cross, Jesus said. Take up your cross. Follow me. You'll get a crown someday. The kingdom will come in power someday. Don't you forget it. It will come in power someday. And you'll get your crown. But this is not the crowning day. And that's the whole thrust of what Jesus is trying now to get into the hearts of these disciples as he begins to move toward the consummation of his ministry here on earth. Would you have believed it if you had been there, this message? Victory through dying? Conquering through defeat? Would you have believed it? You say, well, if I was one of the elect. Well, that's a good answer, I guess. Not as good as anything. But let me ask you, do you understand and believe it now? That's what's important. Do you understand that principle? And do you believe that principle now? That if you don't wear and bear the cross, you will not wear the crown. Boy, what a principle. What a truth. The transfiguration was to prove to certain disciples that Jesus' way would in fact bring about the kingdom in power. And that's the whole purpose of it. He said to them, I'm going to take some of you up on the mountain, and before you taste of death, you're going to see the kingdom come in power. You're not going to have to wait till you die to find it out. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to tell you about it now. You're going to get to see it. Boy, Peter, James, and John, how blessed they were to be a part of that opportunity. Well, we'll save going verse by verse through this until next time, Lord willing, and pick it up at that time.